Support comes from Empower Missouri, which believes a criminal record shouldn't be a lifetime sentence of poverty. Empower Missouri is working to automate expungement of criminal records. More at empowermissouri.org.
Retired business executive Mark Montavani narrowly lost the Democratic primary for county executive in 2018 to Steve Stenger, who resigned last year amid corruption charges. After being prompted to run again by numerous people, Montavani once again threw his hat in the ring for the powerful local governmental post. Montavani joins us on the latest episode of Politically Speaking to break down his candidacy and how he's maneuvering through a four-person Democratic primary. Let's hit the music.
This is the Politically Speaking podcast, the definitive show about Missouri politics.
It's a little complicated in Bolivar because there is a Parsons family there.
But we also knew that it was important to make sure that we got to where we needed to go.
You know, if you walk in a room and you're getting ready to make a decision and everybody in the room looks like you, you need to stop.
And right now what happens in the United States Senate is as critical as anywhere else in the country.
I really want the state to succeed.
We want everybody to know that we're all working together.
I just worked hard to try to build my name where I didn't have the money.
And welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, St. Louis Public Radio political correspondent, Jason Rosenbaum. Joining me on this episode, one of the four Democratic candidates for St. Louis County Executive,
Mark Montavani.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I want to start off with a simple question that I think may have a more complicated answer. You ran in 2018. You narrowly lost to Steve Stenger. Why have you decided to run in this special 2020 election?
Well, when one makes a decision that affects everything about one's life, there are many motivations. There are many factors that go into it, Jason. First and foremost, our community, in my opinion, hasn't changed for the better. I know sometimes people might not believe that others engage in offering themselves for public service in the best interests of their community, but that's sort of my motivation, my primary motivation. And I came to the conclusion that things weren't getting better. The things that had concerned me in 18, issues like a lack of economic development and poverty and crime and government dysfunction and whatnot didn't seem as though they were improving, and so the same motivation existed. And secondarily, many people asked if I would do this again, and all of us, I think, are probably influenced by what peers recommend to us. And I pretty much, from the day that Steve Stenger left office, couldn't go out of my home without people encouraging me to do this again.
Well, let's talk about one of the issues that's top of mind for everybody around the country, and that's the protests over the deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery. Basically, a protest movement decrying police killing black people throughout the country. This is an especially pertinent issue in St. Louis County. This is where Michael Brown was killed almost 6 years ago, and this is where the police accountability movement gained a lot of attention. As county executive, what would you do to further some of the policy goals that are being demanded by a racially and ideologically diverse group of people throughout the country?
So, ironically, I don't believe that there is as much difference of opinion on this topic as others might suggest. You know, I've gotten to know people in the St. Louis County Police Department over the last year, and I find that there is almost consistency with respect to the revulsion that we feel around that type of policing. There's a police accreditation process for police departments across the country. The Minneapolis Police Department, as a matter of fact, was not accredited, and the St. Louis County Police Department is accredited at the highest level. Kneeling on people's neck, as we saw in Minneapolis, has been something that's been opposed by the St. Louis County Police policy for a long time. So I think that we have to evolve our method of policing in this community and across the country. I'm going to tell you a little story. I don't mean to filibuster, but I want to tell you a little story. I was actually pleased to receive the endorsement of the St. Louis County Police Association. And at the meeting where I sat with the executive committee and they indicated that they were going to endorse me, I said to them, this is before the Minneapolis event, mind you, okay? I said to them, there's only one thing I will ask of you, and that is that you be open to change. All of us in our professional lives have to open our minds and hearts to the fact that skills need to develop, talents need to be built upon, and it is not inconsistent with making a commitment to the police that one appeals to them to innovate and experiment and change. I might have told you this 2 years ago. In 2016, my wife and I had the opportunity to spend most of a year in Boston, in Cambridge, actually. And we came to see sort of a different attitude between the Boston police and the community there. And we came to admire it greatly. There was much more trust. There was much more community relationship in the Boston area between the police department and the community. And this is something that I have aspired to duplicate here in our community. And I think there's support for this in the police. And the best two examples of that are in 2016, you know, there was the mass murder down in the gay nightclub in Orlando. The morning after that event, the police department in police headquarters in Boston flew a gay pride flag over its headquarters. The police department marched with the gay community in observation of that tragedy and whatnot. And that type of engagement with the community is something that I think we haven't done enough of, frankly, in our region. And I think it efforts to create relationships and trust are something that I would like to spearhead more in our community.
As I'm sure you know, since the protests began, police unions have come under fire from a lot of activists as being kind of intractable obstacles to change. Do you feel that the fact that you were endorsed by the St. Louis County Police Union may essentially be a turnoff for some voters who feel that way?
Well, it may be. I think it'll also be a turn on for some voters, depending on where one is relative to their perspective of the police. I reiterate the fact that my conversations with the executive committee of the St. Louis County Police Association have convinced me that there is an openness to change. And my leadership style, especially if one is the leader of an enterprise like St. Louis County government, suggests that one creates change more by having thoughtful conversations with people about how to change than by throwing stones at them and being accusatorial. That's not to suggest that you can't disagree and that you can't be demanding. You can be. But practically speaking, having the opportunity to have a conversation, I think, enables me to create more change than entering this county executive position from a position of animosity. You know, a third of the employees of St. Louis County work for the police department. To begin the process of leading that enterprise with an adversarial, a relationship that is built on resentment seems to me to be ill-advised, but it does not mean that status quo is my objective here. People who know me will tell you, I've said this quite a number of times, I don't do maintenance, all right? I'm not seeking this position in order to preserve the status quo. I'm seeking this position in order to create change in the St. Louis region. And yet, I don't believe that change is only achieved through creating ill will.
Well, I've asked the other candidates about Chief Barton's comments involving about systemic racism, and I'm well aware that there is a barrier between the county executive and the police department. The police board oversees the police department, not the county executive. But I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts were about those comments and your thoughts about how County Executive Page appointed the new police board. Because if you win, the police board is going to be largely the same, at least for a year or two. And it's likely that Chief Barton is still going to be there.
Yeah, well, so first of all, it's fair for me to express that I don't know the chief, and I don't have a pre-existing perspective on her competency or her capabilities. I think she deserves the benefit of the doubt, and I respect the position that she's in, and so I'm disinclined to be hypercritical about an unelected public servant that I don't know. I think I disagree with her relative to her statement about if her statement was there is no systemic racism in the St. Louis County Police Department. I think I disagree with that. I think there's systemic racism everywhere. As a practical matter, to suggest that their enterprise is devoid of racism, which is so pervasive in our society, seems sort of narrow-minded to me. I mean, I ran a business. I was proud of my business. I tried the best I could to embrace diversity and whatnot. But if somebody asked that question about me and the company that I ran, I could not have honestly said that I don't believe systemic racism existed. I think it does. It permeates our society. With respect to the police board and her appointment, look, I don't know all of the candidates. I am sort of regretful that a person who was a candidate, who is a admired African-American colonel in the police department, wasn't offered the position.
You're talking about Troy Doyle, by the way.
I am. And I know him a little bit, and I admire his commitment to building trust and bridges across the community. He is respected by both the black community and numerous white members of the St. Louis County Police Department. And I thought it might have been a miss in terms of creating enterprise-level leadership positions for minorities in our community. But again, having said that, I think the new chief deserves every opportunity to do the job and whatnot. I get sort of frustrated sometimes when people point to appointing African Americans to positions in diversity as our inclusion as somehow satisfying their responsibility to create effective diversity in our community. What irks me about this one was this was an enterprise leadership position. This was not head of diversity, and I would have thought that his application would have been perceived as a real opportunity for our community to move ahead.
Well, I saw your statement about Proposition P in kind of the response to defunding the police. And by the way, for our listeners, Proposition P was a half-cent sales tax that voters approved in St. Louis County in 2017 that was aimed at raising pay for the St. Louis County Police Department, adding more officers, adding body cameras, as well as other things. So I think that the intentions of that were definitely magnanimous, but it definitely had some ulterior consequences, like other people in county government wanted increases. I mean, you could make an argument that even if it was done to help police, it could have also been done to help Steve Stenger's political prospects. Would you want to re-examine how Proposition P is the money is allocated there? Would you want to bring something else to voters that makes it specifically just for police or something like that?
Well, I think that now having seen the dissipation of some of the funds, I think there has to be a return to the core commitment, which was to use those funds for the police department and pay and for attracting more officers and for assisting them to do their job more effectively. You know, there were arguments made to use those funds to raise compensation for others. And some of those, at the time they were raised, frankly, I thought they were gray areas and the like. Now, having seen that the funds are not as plentiful as we had hoped, I think we have to make certain that we sort of drop back and resort to our primary goal and the voters' primary goal, as I understand it, which was to support the police specifically. The fundamental challenge that we have with Proposition P, in my opinion, is there appears to be no clear perspective on exactly where the money is going and where it has gone and how much of it is left. And again, I don't mean to take a gratuitous shot at the current administration, but I will. But practically speaking, the fact that there's an auditor in the St. Louis County government who hasn't completed an audit and there's confusion around the Prop P funds seems to me to be a disconnect. If I am fortunate enough to ever serve as county executive, the first thing I would do is require an audit of the Prop P funds. Let's get a handle on where it's gone, how much is left, and sort of evaluate now where we go from here in order to meet those unmet objectives that were listed as primary objectives, things like having two officers in a vehicle and various cameras and the like.
Well, let's move on to the COVID-19 response. As I've mentioned on other shows, COVID-19 has hit St. Louis County harder than any other place in the entire state of Missouri. There's been more cases here. There's been more deaths than any other place. If you had won in 2018 and had been county executive during this time, how would you have handled this situation? Because I think even somebody who said, I would do it this way and I would do it that way, this is such an unprecedented situation that I can imagine any executive leader is going to have trouble handling this.
Well, so first of all, I think you're exactly right, Jason. I mean, this may be non-political of me, but this is a very difficult challenge for leaders all over America. And so I have some very different perspectives on a few things, but some of these have been developed in hindsight fairly, and I don't want to be unfair relative to my criticism of the county executive. But I'll do my best to answer how I would have responded differently. First of all, and this is sort of serendipitous, but practically speaking, I have relatives in Italy. And so in the early days of coming to awareness of the coronavirus, my relatives who live in northern Italy and I were communicating, and they, this is February, they were telling me about the way their lives had been uprooted by this virus, this pandemic. And I, early on, developed a pretty significant concern about the way our leadership, not just in St. Louis County, but across America, was dealing with this risk. I believe I would have been much more engaged in the early stages. But some of this is, believe me, this is just fortuitous because I happen to have relatives in Italy, you know? And I felt like I saw it coming ahead of where our county government was. And so I would have been in consultation, I think, a lot earlier than what I understand our leadership was in terms of creating preparedness. I think we were not very well prepared. And as a practical matter, I personally heard, while being in an audience in the beginning of March, the county executive indicate to everybody that there was a case, but that it was managed and this was sort of going to be the end of it and the like. Well, frankly, I never thought that was going to be the end of it because I knew what was going on across the Atlantic. So that's one thing. Secondly, I do want to acknowledge also that science has been very inconsistent with respect to its recommendations to leaders. Masks were ineffective before they were effective. And so some of the stops and starts, the fits and starts that our county executive has publicized, I think are not entirely his fault, right? I think it's a function of science evolving on this point. Now, I think it also, frankly, it mitigates the value of his argument that somehow he's a doctor and knows more about this, because as a practical matter, science hasn't been particularly effective with respect to how to deal with this from the beginning. But the big things where I believe he has failed, and this I am not going to cut him a break on, is I think he's failed to communicate effectively with the community. I think he's been wholly disrespectful of the business community with the scarcity of counsel and concern about how to communicate with their employees and how to structure arrangements relative to reopening and whatnot. You know, it wasn't that long ago where he announced from his podium that St. Louis County businesses were shutting down indefinitely. Well, that's a wholly unacceptable explanation for a business person who's trying to help their employees figure out where they're going to get their next paycheck from and where they're going to and investors and customers and whatnot. That just doesn't work. It works if you say, look, we're looking at this metric, all right, and this metric today is X, and if it is Y in 2 weeks, this will probably be our unfortunate next step. But that sort of communication, I think, has been wholly lacking, and I think it has created consternation, distrust, in a way that didn't have to exist. Today, I think the consequence of that is I see a lot of people in wholesale disregard of commonsensical practices around keeping themselves and others safe. And I think it is because he sort of lost his constituency on this by not communicating effectively. And then, of course, the biggest error, perhaps, has to do with his demand to be unilaterally in control of the federal funds. And I think this was an insult to many people. I think it was an insult to the county council in large measure, at least the county council, who felt like they should have a say about how the $173 million of federal funds were to be allocated. You know, the county executive explained this as this is an emergency situation.
And right, that was what I was going to say. He's argued that he needed the authority because he needed to spend quickly.
Then how is it nearly July, and he spent $29 million of $173 million? If it was an emergency, you wouldn't have spent, what is that, less than 15% or 15% of the total, maybe it's 20% of the total. That belies that explanation. If it were an emergency and the funds needed to be spent, you would think that they would have been spent. But I looked at the website yesterday, and $9 million has been spent, and this is months. So I don't buy that argument. I think this was an effort at trying to retain unilateral control over those funds. And my belief in our system of government suggests that you want a strong legislative oversight, and I think that that's inconvenient for some executives. I would aspire to never falling into that trap.
Well, let's go to the point you made about the businesses, because if you listen to county council meetings, if you hear one unifying complaint about the COVID response, it's that many people in St. Louis County thought the restrictions were too restrictive and things weren't open quickly enough. To which I think proponents of those restrictions would respond, well, what is the metric that you decide when you open business up? You mentioned that, but we don't really know what those are because the science is still kind of evolving on that.
That's right. I think it varies from business to business based on the nature of one's business, and I think that what we've done in St. Louis County has been, unlike some communities, I think we have either been open or closed. And I think that's not correct. A while ago I heard this described as it should not be an on-off switch. It should be a dimmer switch. right, that we turn up or turn down based on the nature of the entity, the business enterprise, and the way the virus is reacting in a community. And I feel like our county rules have been, we're either open or we're closed, with a couple of notable exceptions. One being, I can't understand how it is that playgrounds in St. Louis County are still closed. This makes no sense to me. I mean, they're open in New York City. Playgrounds, parks are open, but playgrounds are still closed. I don't understand it, all right? And perhaps there's a solid reason. It feels to me like it's either an oversight or it is, I just can't really explain that, right? So there are those instances where it feels that there has been some willingness to allow portions to reopen, but it's not been adequately thought through, I think.
We'll be right back after this quick break with Democratic County Executive Candidate Mark Montavani.
The Gateway brings you the day's news from the St. Louis region and across Missouri. It also includes stories from the Illinois side of the river and our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer.
In Alton, in Belleville, in East St. Louis, in Edwardsville, in Cahokia Heights, at Scott Air Force Base, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listen to reports from Will and all of our journalists weekdays on the Gateway, on the STLPR app, and wherever you get podcasts.
And we're back on Politically Speaking with Democratic County Executive Candidate Mark Montavani. So I want to give you a little bit of a free rein here. We talked about COVID and we talked about the police protests, but there are probably other things you want to do as county executive that are different from those two subject areas. If you were to be county executive for 2 years, which is what this term would be, what would be some other major priorities you would want to do?
Well, thank you for the question. First of all, you're exactly right. I didn't begin this campaign because of COVID or because of police brutality. I began this campaign because I have been concerned about our community's failure to progress. Much of that involves economic progress. Progress relative to creating opportunity for people and communities. You'll recall last time I was in 2018, I was very comfortable quoting statistics about the failure of our community to grow in population base and in economic indicators, and all of those things continue. Coronavirus and the protests have only amplified our challenges, and I think it is more important today than ever that we identify a path to create economic opportunity and growth in our community. Look, all of us, I think all Democrats recognize that we have these fundamental social challenges. In our community especially, we have excessive poverty. We have unacceptable segregation. Our rate of economic mobility for African Americans in our community is abysmal. Our population growth languishes. We recognize all of these social challenges, right? The fact is that we don't have the financial resources to deal aggressively with a lot of them because our economic base hasn't grown. We are dealing with the same size pizza pie here that we had a decade ago, and we have greater and greater social challenges. My belief is that the only way that we are going to have the kinds of resources to create change on many of these areas is to create economic growth. If the size of our economic engine in this community remains the same, the only way one party or one community gets more is if another community or party gets less. That's always difficult. That creates winners and losers. The objective of our community should be to create the same kind of growth that has happened in other communities, and then to allocate those resources where it's needed in our community. So one of the things that I look forward to doing effectively and quickly is to enhance our progress relative to creating economic growth. Last week, or the week before, we saw that Accenture has announced the potential of adding a significant number of jobs in our region. My belief is that that thing should be, that dynamic should be happening every 6 or 8 weeks in our community, not once every 5 years or 3 years or whatnot. We have a very good story to tell to the country about the quality of life in our community, and yet we have been significantly ineffective at communicating that to a broader perspective, a broader spectrum. In fact, the county executive rarely participates in those types of efforts. If the county executive is the chief executive of this region, he or she has the responsibility to promote and help grow the economic engine of our community, again, in order to create the economic resources that are necessary to create the change here. So there are a number of things I would do along those lines, right? First of all, I believe it's imperative for St. Louis County to change its reputation to a place that is good to do business in instead of a place that is difficult to do business in. Many businesses today are relocating to St. Charles County or to Jefferson County, and they are critical of the degree of regulation and oversight in St. Louis County.
Any examples of that?
Well, the number of housing starts in our community in St. Louis County are very low relative to what they were 10 years ago. And all one has to do is sort of track the flight of restaurants from North St. Louis County to St. Charles to see that businesses are flooding to the west. I think those things are destructive of our community. So there are a number of things I think we can do. First of all, our economic development apparatus in the community is ineffective. You know, we have this whole range of economic development associations and commissions, the Economic Development Partnership, the Chamber, Civic Progress, Alliance St. Louis, the Regional Business Council. And as closely as I've looked at it, I can't tell whether there's a concerted strategy on behalf of our community or not. It feels to me like they all run off half-cocked, do their own thing. There is no consistent strategy or coordination. I think that's a failure of the county executive's office. The county executive's office, the county executive is the chief executive of this region, and he or she should convene discussions around collaboration around such organizations and develop concerted strategies for how we're going to proceed. Secondly, we should have resources that are committed to our region, located in those communities across America that we can, I'm going to put this in quotes, so it really doesn't deserve quotes, but we can steal opportunities from Silicon Valley, Eastern Seaboard, New York and Boston, and whatnot, because we have a story to tell about the cost of living here, the cost of wages that are paid here relative to those environments and whatnot. We are not very aggressive in seeking those opportunities. We respond to RFPs. Well, I was a businessman long enough to tell you that if the sum and substance of your operation is responding to RFPs, you're not going to achieve very much, right? Because by the time a deal gets to an RFP, the profit is out of it. It's highly competitive and whatnot. We ought to have resources in those communities who are identifying those things. We ought to be communicating with employees of organizations in those environments about the fact that today, in light of remote work opportunities, the coronavirus driven, they can live in St. Louis on their salary that they're getting in Seattle, and instead of their 800 square foot condo in downtown Seattle, they can have a 2,500 square foot home in St. Louis County, right? And they can work for the same company and do the same job and have a wholly different sort of quality of life. I don't see our economic development apparatus involved with these things. I can go on about economic development things. So this is a big deal because it underlies all of our challenges, right? We have to create a bigger economic engine than what we have today.
Well, I want to ask you about city-county unification, merger, however you want to call it. I know we've gone back and forth about whether to call it a merger or not, but I know that you are on the board of Freeholders, and you have expressed, or briefly, and you've expressed some interest in bringing the city into the county as a municipality. Would that be a goal if you're county executive to actually make that happen? Yeah. Or is there just no critical mass for that?
I don't. I think that in light of the moment where we find ourselves, there is probably little primary focus on that. I mean, however, having said that, I will never lay off on the issue of creating more regional focus in this community. We are failing, in my view, in part because we are too parochial with respect to the way we view our progress as a region. Too parochial, I mean city versus county or whatnot. Many economic development opportunities, you know, that come to us, there is a zero-sum game between the city and the county. They're not only not always cooperative, they are sometimes competitive. That's unacceptable because we're competing with other regions around the country or around the globe. Indianapolis and Louisville, Nashville have solved some of these issues, and the consequence is that when we compete for those opportunities, we appear to be divided and dysfunctional. They appear to have their act together, and frankly, they're kicking our butts. So if I am ever in this office, there are a number of things that I'm going to try to do to bring the region together. First of all, I'm going to try to develop a good working relationship with the mayor and with the city of St. Louis. Secondly, and I've already done this, I reach out consistently to the municipal mayors in the suburbs of St. Louis County, a group of people, by the way, who have been largely neglected by our past two county executives. First of all, I think that's ill-advised from a leadership standpoint. Secondly, it creates progress in our region. It makes progress more difficult. We, above all, if there's anything I want your listeners to come away with, we have to come together as a community. St. Louis lacks the strength to be divided as we are. Our only hope to change the future of this community is for us to elect somebody who builds bridges, who is less judgmental about people on the other side of a granite monument, who aspires to progress for the region as opposed to their little parochial bailiwick. We need bigger thinking in this community in the worst way. And I aspire to bringing people together in a way that they haven't been together for much of my lifetime.
In the last few minutes, I want to talk about the actual campaign. First of all, how do you campaign in this environment? I mean, it has to be so much different than 2018 in the sense that you can't go door to door as much. You're going to have to depend a lot more on, you know, mailers, TV ads, radio ads, which I know you have. Your campaign definitely has the funding for that, but it has to be a much different challenge this time around.
Well, it's incredibly difficult. Especially in my case, frankly, I didn't announce that I was running until February 19th, and by the middle of March, we were sort of shut down. Now, luckily, we got off to a wonderful beginning, a wonderful start, and it's complicated by virtue of the fact that my primary two opponents are office holders in St. Louis County. So there are a lot of complications. Personally, the part of running for office that I like, and there are a lot of parts that I don't, frankly, the part that I like the most is meeting new people and making new friends and listening to people and learning different perspectives and whatnot. And that's been very hard in this environment. We've done virtual meetings. We have done a lot more communication through electronic media and the like, and we'll continue to do that. But yeah, it's a different dynamic. Thankfully, people do remember me, many, and so when I have opportunities like this, I try to take advantage of everyone that I can to communicate with voters about what is at stake for our community. We're very optimistic about the outcome. Every race is different, you know. Obviously, last time I was running against a well-funded incumbent, one guy, all right, and this time there are three other thoughtful people involved, and every race is different. I think that for those people who really want change in our community, I sort of stand above the others. I mean, the other principal competitors, you know, have been running for office in this community for much of our adult lives, you know. I mean, Sam Page has run for six different offices since 2000. And Jake Zimmerman has run for five. It feels to me only fair to suggest that they've had their opportunities to create change, and that the voters in our region would be wise to give another person who's also committed to the region and committed to governance an opportunity to create the change that we need.
Zimmerman and Page are probably going to point to you and say, you don't have the Democratic bona fides to win this. They're going to point to your donation situation, everything that maybe Steve Stanger pointed to last time. What would you say to Democratic voters who may be skeptical of you? And I understand, let me just point this out to both you and our listeners. I have been pretty vocal in saying that Democratic and Republican politics don't often align with county government because it's not the same as state or federal office. But the reality is people vote sometimes depending on whether they see somebody as upholding the Democratic or Republican principles. So I'd like you to address that, because if there's going to be one area where you're going to get attacked, it's that.
Well, that's fair. I think, first of all, I think your point is an excellent one about the fact that many of the challenges face St. Louis County are not, purely speaking, partisan political issues in the Republican and Democrat sense of the term. You know, as an aside, most county executive offices across America are nonpartisan elections. St. Louis County happens to be in the minority, and it's not 90% versus 10%, it's probably 60-40, but most county executive positions tend to be nonpartisan elections in America. With respect to my Democratic credibility, there are two things I would point to. First is, I think it's sort of been answered. I mean, 90,000 Democrats voted for me less than 2 years ago, which is a staggeringly high number in the history of St. Louis County Democratic primaries. But bigger than that, is the fact that the reason that I'm doing this is to create economic opportunity and to enhance the quality of life of my community. That is, in my opinion, primarily a Democratic value. I'm not doing this to allow to help rich people get richer. I'm doing this because we have such a significant portion of our community that is underserved and has so few opportunities, and that is, in my view, a Democratic value. And the other thing is that I have come to the conclusion in my life that government is and should be a tool of creating and enhancing common good. I don't think that's a Republican point of view. I believe that government exists in order, or should exist, in order to help level the playing field and create opportunity for many. Now, if people want to point to the fact that as a business person, contributed to candidates of different parties, that's fine, right? But as a practical matter, my values are Democratic, and I'd also like to acknowledge that to the extent people don't like this, that's just too bad. I've evolved over the course of my lifetime. I don't think the same way I thought 10 years ago, 5 years ago. If that makes me somehow suspect, I can't help it. I'm not the kind of guy who's just going to say this is what I think for the rest of my life. And you know, an awful lot of historic Democratic leaders were Republicans in their early days. Franklin Roosevelt, Bobby Kennedy's the best example. You know, these are people who evolved in their liberalism over the course of their lifetime. And if somebody wants to point to me because I wasn't a Democrat 25 years ago or 20 years ago, I'd say they don't know history, because a lot of our best Democratic leaders have sort of followed a similar evolution.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining our program. For all of our stories, stlpublicradio.org. You can follow me on Twitter at Jay Rosenbaum. How can people follow you either on Twitter or, you know, where can they find more information about your campaign?
MarkForSt.Louis.com is the website, and that'll direct them to Twitter or any other place. Mark for St. Louis.
Thank you so much, and until next time, so long.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.